A shortage of a product in America, well, not unheard of, at least not until now. Baby formula. You're kidding me. And this isn't about politics, government programs, policies, corporate earnings. This is about the lives of our children, and not just our youngest children. There are older children with special dietary needs whose well-being is being endangered because a bunch of political hacks couldn't see the storm brewing months ago when that Abbott plan had to be shut down. Now, you've no doubt heard enough words from the political hacks. I think it's time for some words from the human side of this equation. She is the mother of a special needs child whose sole source of nutrition is baby formula. Her upcoming book, coming out in about a week or so, Hope is the Heartache, The Journey of Grace and Growth with the Special Needs Child. It brings you into her world of challenges and how both she and her family continue to overcome each and every one of them. We say good morning to Kelly Speck. How are you today, Kelly?
Hi, Chris. Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I'm so delighted to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled to be able to bring this story to people and to learn more, by the way. HopeInTheHeartache.com is Kelly's website. Yes, we have it linked at our homepage as well as a way you can pre-order the book from Amazon. And I do advise you to get this book because what Kelly does, it's a story that we've heard to varying degrees frequently in the news and in the world around us, but we always see it in such a short view. And Kelly, with her book, Hope and the Heartache, brings about in surprisingly a few pages how so much detail into what parents in this situation go through that nobody can ever plan for. And you even wonder, how did I get through today? Can I do it again tomorrow? Talk about your son, Bennett, though, because he's 14, as I said. He still requires baby formula for his nutrition through tube feeding. What was the condition that brought about the situation that you had to confront?
Sure, Chris. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share. So Bennett is our first child. My husband and I were type A planners, kind of living the DC life, working hard to save money for that first house, kind of checking all the boxes of things we thought we were supposed to be doing, get pregnant with our first baby, healthy pregnancy, no issues, full term, 38 weeks, go into labor, and basically they ended up doing a C-section because they thought, he doesn't really look that happy with each contraction, let's get him out. And I was like, absolutely. And when they got him out, he was blue, barely breathing, lungs full of pneumonia, and they said, here's your baby, and then ran out the door, took him to the NICU at that hospital, but they weren't prepared to care for him. He was basically born as close to stillborn as possible. So they immediately transported him to Georgetown University Hospital, where he was immediately put on life support and a procedure called ECMO, which actually a lot of people are more familiar with after COVID, actually. And so anyway, basically, he fought for his life. His body just went through things you couldn't even imagine. And we do go into detail in our book, sharing it, not to creep anyone out, but just, you know, the fighting spirit of newborns, I mean, of all lives, but, you know, he went through so much. And the good news is he lived, even though we were told multiple times to expect him to pass away. But we did find out on day 40 after an MRI that he had experienced a severe oxygen depletion on his last day of life support and right before they took him off this ECMO machine. And so we were thrilled he lived, and then it was bam, he has cerebral palsy, brain damage. Don't know what to expect. He may walk, he may not, he may talk, he may not. Good luck, you know. And then we were eventually discharged from the hospital and kind of began this journey of being special needs parents when we didn't see it coming, you know. And so it was really, really tough. He did drink a bottle at the beginning, but then around 18 months, he was having a lot of issues, reflux and cognitive and physical just challenges. So we ended up getting a feeding tube placed in his belly. And so he's been on, formula. He has a dairy allergy, so it's actually a hypoallergenic special formula his whole life. And it's just something, you know, I had no nursing background, neither did my husband. I mean, I'm an accountant. My husband's in government administration. And so anyway, we were just thrown into caring for a medically fragile child. And we were in and out of the hospital, surgeries, you name it, just a lot of challenges, which many parents, we're not alone in this, many parents have gone through this journey. And so we ended up having two more kids. So Bennett's our oldest, and now we have an 11-year-old son and a 9-year-old daughter who are both quote-unquote typical. Our daughter actually was born with a significant birth defect that was another journey that we kind of chronicle in the book, just kind of sharing that, you know, parenthood has looked very different than the normal journey for us. But, you know, just bringing it back to the formula, it hadn't even hit me that we would be affected by the shortage until last week. I have a dear friend who's a young mom, 34 years old, with stage 4 cancer, fighting for her life. And she has a 6-month-old baby. And so in addition to fighting for her life, she's all of a sudden stressed out because she can't get formula for her baby. And so we're all just trying to rally around, find formula for her. My heart was just breaking for young moms who are already sleep deprived and stressed out. And then I go, oh, then it's, you know, it's time for me to order his formula. So I call up our medical supply company and they said, oh, it's on back order. And I was like, oh, why is it on back order? It's never been on back order. And they were like, are you aware of the baby formula shortage? And I said, yeah. It didn't even hit me that, you know, both children and adults, all people who are dependent upon tube feedings are being affected by this. And immediately I was stunned for so many reasons. I mean, we have about a month's supply, so Lord willing, things will get worked out in the supply chain before then. But more importantly, as I thought of my 34-year-old friend with her newborn son and then my son Bennett and all the tube-fed people I know in this world, you know, how are we not, as a society, not prioritizing the most vulnerable? And unfortunately, and this population is the most forgotten. And now just the basic need of feeding them is not a priority of our government or our leaders. And so it's just been really heartbreaking, really, to kind of sit with that and realize the reality of the situation.
Dr. Kelly Speck, her upcoming book, released in about a week or so, Hope in the Heartache, The Journey of Grace and Growth with a Special Needs Child. Find out more and order her book, more importantly, at hopeintheheartache.com. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I think that's probably surprised a lot of people, Kelly, how the production process for baby formula basically relies on 4 manufacturing companies who get their base supplies, the amino acids, according to my understanding, if best I can grab a concept of. The 4 companies get the amino acids for baby formula from 1 company. So the whole equation is hanging in such a precarious, thin line that one Abbott factory goes down. Well, it just is an Abbott factory going down. The fact that the FDA and the industry itself is just so concentrated that there was no alternative, and no one saw this as a priority. Okay, we're eliminating 1 link of the chain in production of baby formula. Maybe we should fix that chain, don't you think?
Right. I mean, it's like everything has been exposed. All of our weaknesses have been exposed, right? You know, through COVID, we realized, oh, who's the main provider of masks and gloves? China. Who's the main provider of our antibiotics? China. I mean, you know, it's just like we as a country, I feel like it's a time to get really honest about what are our priorities? Who are our priorities? And at this point, it doesn't feel like the vulnerable are a priority. It's if you don't have value to society today, not looking ahead to 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you know, today you're of no worth, you know. Or if you are, like, you know, oh, maybe you are, you know, we'll get to you in a few weeks. You know, babies need food every 2 to 3 hours. You know, I mean, obviously, tube fed individuals, it sustains life, and so I am extremely concerned at the state of our country and society based on how we're choosing to resource and leverage supplies in all aspects.
It just always seems we have to catch up after something happens. It's like trying to fix the car. It's trying to keep the car safe after you hit the tree.
React, react, react. Where are the proactive leaders? Where have they gone? It's baffling on every level. And, you know, I just don't think, here's what I think is a good thing. Not everyone in America has been a parent, but we can say that everyone in America has either been an aunt, an uncle, a friend, a neighbor of a family with young children. You know, the basic need of sustaining life is opening the eyes of a lot of people. And, you know, we live in suburban Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C., in Montgomery County, Maryland. Many people have heard of it, one of the most progressive far-left countries in our country. And I have been extremely active in, you know, education. We were the last county and the last state to go back to in-person learning. I mean, it's just been, you know, beating my head against the wall in many ways. But the positive is people's eyes are being opened. people who have only voted a certain way and only thought a certain way because of generations of family, blah, blah, blah. Eyes are being opened. The proof is in the pudding. You know, when you see the data coming out about what, you know, virtual learning did to children and their learning and their ability to read and do math, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. So I will say the positive is I think Americans are waking up. They're being forced to. If they can't feed their baby, they're being forced to wake up. And so if they can't feed their special needs child, they're at their wit's end, you know? I mean, to tell young and new moms, oh, go to your pediatrician or drive 4 hours to get formula and pay, you know, a whole paycheck's worth of money to get formula for your baby. I mean, the fact that we're in this current situation is unacceptable on every level.
For you listening, I want you to get Kelly's book, Hope and the Heartache, The Journey of Grace and Growth with a Special Needs Child. If it tells your story, you're going to find a guidebook, a resource, a reinforcement for what you're dealing with right now. That is your reality. If you care about humanity, you're going to learn about the value of family, the value of dedication to duty if you're in the medical field, the value of dedication to friends and coworkers who you say you care about. The Bible teaches us, and I've talked at the end of show sermons quite frequently, that faith is more than words. It's the actions that we take that show our faith in our fellow human being. And that's just really one of the lessons you get from Kelly's book, Hope and the Heartache, The Journey of Grace and Growth with a Special Needs Child. HopeandTheHeartache.com. Learn more about the book, Kelly's story, Bennett's story, and how hope is always there no matter how much darkness tries to overshadow it. Kelly Speck, thank you so much for sharing your life and your story, your son's story, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Chris. And that is the message of the book, is hope. And even when life is very hard, it's always beautiful. And there are good people everywhere you look. We've had run into so many good people. And so there's good. Look for the good. Like, definitely our book is a message of hope and good. And we just will continue to shout that from the rooftop. Thank you so much.